Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levillier, with an hour of comedy ahead of us. Later on, it's Henry Morgan from 1949, but first, Jimmy Durante, with special guest actor Victor Moore, an NBC episode from June 16th, 1948.
Good health to all from Rexall. From Hollywood, it's the Jimmy Durante Show. Yes, 10,000 Rexall drugstores who carry the complete line of top-quality Rexall drug products bring you the Jimmy Durante Show with Peggy Lee, Roy Bargy and his orchestra, the Crew Chiefs Quartet, yours truly, Howard Petrie, and Victor Moore. And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Rexall's prescription for a pleasant evening, the one and only Jimmy Durante, in person.
You've got to start off each day with a song. Now, even when things go wrong, you feel better, you even look better. Stop the music, stop the music. The piccolo player's only playing with one pickle. And I got another complaint. I just got word that Petrillo has been elected president of the Musicians Union again. I demand a recount. Who did you guys in the orchestra vote for, Petrillo or Durante?
Petrillo!
Durante.
That proves I'm the winner. In the Musicians' Union, one vote against Petrillo is a landslide.
Well, Jimmy, Petrillo wasn't the only president in the news this week. The day before yesterday, President Truman came into Los Angeles, but I don't suppose you battled the crowd to go down and meet him.
Howard, you're laboring under a misapprehension. Why, when the presidential special pulled in, I'm the guy who stood on the platform singing, waiting for the train to come in. Waiting for the train to come in. Sorry, Harry, our sound man is a Republican.
Well, Jimmy, when the president stepped off the train, was he happy to see you?
He was exuberated. He grabbed my hand and said, "Greetings." How do you like that? Congress hasn't passed a law yet, and already I'm drafted. Greetings.
Well, given the newsreel, when I saw you hand the president his welcoming gift of a bottle of champagne, he looked puzzled.
I'll say he was puzzled. He pointed at my schnoz and said, "This stumps me. It's too small to launch and too big to veto." Chuckling gently at the president's remark and filing it away for November, we... Now, where am I now? We paraded up Wilshire Boulevard to UCLA, where Truman received an honorary degree. And after walking 25 miles, I was happy to accept my award, too.
Oh, Dr. Sproul presented you with a degree?
No, Dr. Scholl presented me with a foot pad.
Well, Jim, tell me, did the president get a chance to do any sightseeing in our beautiful city?
Indubitably, Howard, indubitably. I took him on a tour, hither and thither, and we finally wound up at the zoo where a very touching scene took place.
Well, what happened?
The elephant looked Truman in the eye and said, "Please, Harry, tell me what the White House looks like." After 16 years, even an elephant forgets.
Well, Jimmy, that sounds very interesting, but I heard that you also attended the press club ball.
Yes, Howard, and what a blowout it was. Everybody showed up with a prominent newspaper man, and I brought Greer Garson.
You brought Greer Garson? Well, she's not a member of the press.
So what? Let them press what they want. I'll press what I want. I'm not going to sit around all evening with Jimmy Fiddler on my lap.
Ah, schnoz the ladies' man. What would Durante do without women?
Let's put it another way. What would women do without Durante? Wait a minute. I think I like it your way better. but my romantic life has its ups and downs. Let me elucidate. The other day, a friend of mine gave me the number of a girl he wanted me to know. Blind dates her for me, and when she answered the phone, I gave her my sweetest hello. You see, I always like to start out very brilliant and get dull as I go along. Continuing, I said, Durani speaking. How about going out with me tonight? She said, before I go out with you, what do you look like? What a dilemma. Should I tell her the truth and be turned down? Or should I lie and worry about it later? There was no way out, so instead I braced myself and said I wouldn't say I was handsome. I wouldn't say I was cute. I'm not very tall. Gosh darn it all. It's kind of hard to put it in words. You know, the other night I made a blind date the same way, over the phone. I said, hello. She said, hello. Come right over. When I got there, she took one look at my nose and said, you sure must have hurried. You forgot to hang up the phone. It's kind of hard to put it in words. It's not that I want to be mysterious. Honest, I'm not trying to stall. Believe me, I'm really quite serious. I'm just an in-between rascal, that's all. I know I'm not good-looking, but what's my opinion against thousands of others? I wouldn't say I'm fascinating. Too bad I'm not elucidating. I wouldn't even try. When we meet, she'll know why. It's kind of hard to put it in words. Yes, I got a problem. After all, in describing myself, I got to be a little modest. You see, beauty is only skin deep. Just happens I got very deep skin. Analyze the facts. Is Walter Pigeon prettier than me?
No!
Is Cary Grant prettier than me?
No!
Is Tyrone Power prettier than me?
No!
Those musicians will say anything to hold their jobs. Why, only a few weeks ago, I had a blind date with a beautiful girl. After that, I met her every night. And you know something? Every time I kissed her, she used to keep her eyes closed. One night, she opened her eyes, and what happened? I never saw her again. I wouldn't say I was a highbrow. My looks won't raise an eyebrow. I'm not a Shakespeare. It would take me a year. It's kind of hard to put it in words. Yes, sir, it's kind of hard to put it in words.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, in honor of Father's Day, we bring you the star of One Man's Family.
Oh, you got that wrong, Howard. I'm just one man who looks like a family.
Why, it's Victor Moore.
Thanks for mentioning Father's Day, Howard. I've written a little poem about it. Listen. Oh, Father dear, I love you best. But now I have one small request. You told me once of the birds and the bees. I'm over 40 now. Would you finish the story, please?
That's a lovely sentiment, Victor. Jimmy will be very proud of you.
Don't mention Durante's name to me. Not after what he did to me this morning.
Well, why, Victor? What happened?
Well, I was walking down Vine Street, ignoring the girls who were whistling at me, when suddenly I heard a voice say,
get me a lawyer. Get me a lawyer. I'll sue. I've been humiliated.
Jimmy, what's the trouble?
I just steps into this cafeteria here, sets a cup of coffee on the table, and goes back to get my pie. And when I returns to the table with the pie, what do I find? Somebody stole my coffee.
Why?
So setting the pie on the table, I goes back for more coffee. And when I returns with the coffee, the pie is gone. So I put the coffee down with a little note beside it which says, don't drink this coffee, I put my finger in it. And I goes back for more pie. When I returns again, my coffee is gone. And there's a little note under the saucer which says, I drank the coffee, but I couldn't locate your finger.
Coffee, huh? Gee, that's grounds for a suit. Well, it's better than having no joke at all.
Well, tell me, Victor, what are you doing here on Vine Street?
I was just on my way down to the depot to pick up a railroad ticket. You see, I'm planning to
Pardon
take
me,
a little...
Pardon me, friend, but I heard you say you were planning a little trip. Why don't you step inside here? I run the MacDougall Travel Agency.
No, I'm going to the depot.
You don't see, have to go to the depot, brother. We have tours everywhere now. Now, just step inside. It's 20 degrees cooler on the inside.
No, I don't think that... It is cooler inside.
Would you mind opening that door once more? My nose would like to come in, too.
Now, what's your problem, Buster?
Well, I want a ticket to Pismo Beach.
Pismo Beach? You want to go to Pismo Beach? Why?
I prefer to keep that a secret between Pismo Beach and myself.
He's going steady with a clam.
Wait a minute, I got a much better idea, bud. Why don't you try one of our beautiful, luxurious ocean voyages to Honolulu?
Don't do it, Victor. Don't do it. If you want to see the hula girls in their grass skirts, never go to Honolulu in the summer.
What's wrong with going in the summer?
Go in the spring when they're rotating their crops. Add the radio like a Hoover vacuum. You'll clean it up tonight.
Wait a minute, your problem is solved. Here's your ticket, and I know you're going to love England.
England! All I want is a ticket to Pismo Beach.
Yes. Can't you sell him a ticket to Pismo Beach?
Wait a minute, I got it. How about a bus trip through the Canadian Rockies? Now, you leave in 10 minutes. Route 66 to Bakersfield and 101 to Salt Lake City. Then you take 57, 92, 48, 24, and 33.
How do you like that? Ask a simple question, the guy starts a bingo game.
Hold your cards, folks. There may be a mistake. What are we talking about? All I want is a ticket to Pismo Beach. Help! Help! Help!
Calm down, Victor. I got a folder right here that solves your problem. It's a tour that ends up in Pismo Beach, but on the way you go to San Diego, Singapore, Rancun, Calcutta, Iceland, Madagascar, and it's all free.
Now, take it. Give me that pen. Now, there's my signature, Victor Moore.
Congratulations, Victor. You just joined the Navy. Victor. Don't feel upset. That whole thing was just a gag. But I wish I was a sailor, because here comes a girl it would be nice to have one of in every port. Peggy Lee.
In person. Hi, Jimmy. How are you tonight, Vicky boy?
Well, I'm a little tired. I've been breathing all day.
Peggy, you look so lovely that right after the program, I'm going to take you to see Victor's new picture, On Our Merry Way. We'll sit in the balcony.
Oh, but you took me there last night and we sat in the balcony.
I know, but tonight we'll watch the picture.
Say, can I come along, too?
Well, of course, Victor. We'll need you.
Yeah, while I'm kissing Peggy, you can rattle the popcorn.
That's the way I always wind up, holding the bag. Hey.
Well, Peggy, while Victor mops the butter off his fingers, would you favor us with a little vocal selection?
Gladly, Jimmy. I'd like to sing a new ballad that's making the rounds called It's Magic. You sigh, the song begins. You speak, and I hear violins. It's magic. The stars desert the skies and rush to nestle in your eyes. It's magic. Without a golden wand or mystic charm, fantastic things begin when I am in your arms. When we walk hand in hand, the world becomes a wonderland. It's magic. How it's magic. do I tell myself these things that happen are all really true? When in my heart I know the magic is my love for you. Why do I tell myself these things that happen are all really true? When in my heart I know the magic is my love for
a 60-second story from the Rexall Laboratory.
Well, this chapter of the Rexall quality story might be called The Sealed Room, but there's no mystery here, no overtones of ghostly horror, but only the quiet, concentrated intensity of scientists at work to guard your health. The Sealed Room? You'll find it in the Rexall Control Laboratory, a glass-walled cubicle strictly off-limits to germs. In this disinfected room, the strength of antiseptics tested, the potency of some vitamins and other painstaking, highly accurate experiments are made. It's only one small part of the great Rexall Control Laboratory, but it contributes mightily to the meaning of the fact that you know so well, that you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
So for any and for all of your household drug needs, always buy Rexall at Rexall drugstores everywhere.
If you want to be sure that the product is pure when you ask for a drug preparation, buy the Rexall line at the Rexall sign of Rexall identification.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Did you hear that New York State is trying to pass a law making it legal for men to go into beauty parlors?
Why, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it could be a catastrophe. A beautician once talked me into putting mud packs on my head.
Did it grow hair?
No, grass. Oh. These ain't wrinkles on my head. They're lawnmower tracks.
Well, there's only one way to find out how the rest of the country feels about men in beauty parlors. Let's make a tour and take a survey.
That's a good idea. We leave with a hop, skip, and a jump.
You two can hop, skip, and jump. I can make better time if I lay down and roll.
Let's go! Any state in the 48 is great.
The 48 is great, and any state is a reason we should celebrate.
We ought to celebrate tonight. It's our duty to see about beauty. Should men be found in beauty shops?
When it comes to looks, I could write a few books.
Jimmy, let's make a few stops.
We have a magic carpet to take this trip.
We pull a string and away we rip.
What a carpet. It's going 700 miles an hour.
What was that?
Truman going through the South. Any state in the 48 is great.
Well, tonight we ought to learn an awful lot.
Follow me, Victor. We're almost at our first destination.
That must be it below.
We salute New Haven.
And New England, too.
Plenty cute New Haven.
We're heading straight for you.
Remember your etiquette in Connecticut. Don't forget it now.
We are raving cause we're craving
to stop over and how
in New Haven.
Go on down and see what's new in New Haven, boys.
Hey, Jimmy, here's a good beauty parlor. It's run by a former student of Charles of the Ritz.
Good. Let's go in and talk to him. Pardon me, sir. I understand that you're one of the best-known beauty operators in the country. Tell me, why do women by the thousands beat a path to your door fighting for your personal attention just to get a facial massage?
I tickle.
There's nothing like combing business with pleasure.
Yeah, it must be fun running a beauty shop.
Oh, no. All day long, it's just gossip, gossip, gossip. Why, just this morning, Mrs. Brown told Mrs. Kelly that she saw Mr. Johnson out with Mrs. Henderson.
You don't say.
I do say. And Mrs. Johnson is leaving Mr. Johnson so she can marry Mr. Kelly, who's been going around with Mrs. Brown.
I bet that surprised you.
Oh, no. I started the whole thing.
If this guy talked that much in California, he'd have a sunburnt tongue. Look, sir, we're conducting a survey. Are you in favor of a law that allows men to come into beauty parlors?
Oh, definitely. I think it would be a benefit to all men.
How?
Well, for instance, I could give you some vitamin creams that would really increase your vitality.
I don't want to increase it. I just want to keep what I got.
Well, tell me, sir, do you use all those beauty preparations yourself?
Oh, yes, but don't let this get around. Using all those beauty treatments causes me no end of trouble.
What do you mean, trouble?
Well, every night before I go to bed, I smear on my face cream, hand cream, elbow cream, knee cream, ankle cream, leg cream, and body cream. And I can't sleep a wink.
Why not?
All night long, I keep sliding out of bed.
Any steak in the fall, we take is great.
Magnolia blossoms in the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare for a landing.
Oh, mister, can't you see? This is Memphis, Tennessee, where the blues take a cruise on the Mississippi.
A trumpet wails a Memphis melody. Nighttime seems to be
a rhapsody
to Memphis.
One down and lose your blues in Memphis, boys.
Let's go in, Victor. We'll check on this swanky-looking beauty parlor here in Memphis.
Well, how do you do, miss?
Well, I do declare, if it isn't too nice, gentlemen, come and call our little old bitsy, bitsy me. I sure am powerful glad to see you all, because I just love company. Anytime, any day, I do declare, indeed I do.
Thank you, Mrs. Effie, Boom of Lexington, Kentucky.
Why, you're mistaken, sir. I'm not from Kentucky. I was born in Memphis and bred in Memphis.
Jimmy, she was bred in Memphis.
What I wouldn't do for a loaf like this.
I'd like a few slices myself.
Well, I do declare, if you just ain't the sweetest little old honeysuckle blossom.
It gets around. It gets around.
Well, look, miss, we're conducting a survey on the question, should men be allowed in beauty parlors? I suppose you're against it?
On the contrary, sir. You're laboring under a misapprehension.
There it gets around.
I could do wonders for you.
For me?
Yes. How would you like to have your face lifted?
It wouldn't do any good. The weight of his nose would drag it down.
No remarks, Victor. My nose is the only big thing left in the country that Howard Hughes can't afford.
Now, just let me demonstrate my finger wave on your chubby little friend here. Oh. First, I relax him by stroking his neck like this.
Oh.
And then I gently massage his face like this.
Oh, baby.
And then I start to twist his hair on my fingers and curl it like this.
Oh.
Well, Victor, his hair is still straight, but his toes are curled.
Any state in the 48.
Captain Journey, where are we going now?
It's a different kind of territory.
We haven't much time. Let's go.
Hear ye, listen, everyone.
We're heading straight for the land of the sun. To Douglas, Arizona, a touch of old west.
In the cattle country, it's a place to rest.
You can swim, you can fish, you can hunt wild game.
See the cowboys rootin' tootin'.
Ain't you glad you came
to Douglas?
Go on down, boys, and take the air in Arizona.
Where do you expect to find a beauty parlor out here, Jimmy?
We're not looking for one, Victor. I just want to find out how a real rugged outdoor man feels about our question.
Here comes
comes one now.
Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where never is heard a discouraging word.
Ah, shut up!
What did he shoot him for?
He violated the code of the West. He said a discouraging word.
Tony! Tony! Where's my horse, Tony?
You're sitting on him.
Oh, yeah. I wondered why my legs dangled when I walked.
Now, look here, partner. We're conducting a survey. Are you in favor of men going at the beauty parlors?
Well, I'll tell you. I don't hold much truck with them thar cosmetiques. But just t'other night, some varmint sprinkled some taboo behind my ear while I was sleeping. I woke up in the morning, and my horse kissed me.
Let's have a whiff of that stuff. Wow.
Oh, is it strong?
Strong. One drop of this stuff and Chloe comes out of the swamp looking for you.
Well, then you got to prove of men going into beauty parlors.
Out here in the West, we don't need no beauty parlors. If I want to wave in my hair, I go to sleep with my head on my horse Tony's ribs.
You sleep with your head on Tony's ribs? What kind of a wave does that put in your hair?
Son, you're looking at the original Tony Permanent.
Take me home, Mr. Moore. In the 48th is great.
New Haven.
Memphis.
Douglas.
You can travel north, south, east, or west.
Durrani says that men don't need a beauty rest.
It's great.
Wonderful.
Marvelous.
Stupendous. Any state in the 48th is great.
Feeling fine, so always call for Rexall where you see the Rexall sign.
Remember, 25% of America buys its drug needs in Rexall drugstores. Rexall is that large and respected family of more than 2,000 different drug products. You can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall, available in Rexall drugstores everywhere.
Touché, Howard, and I'd like to add, I do my shopping at a Rexall store, buying Rexall drugs, and the furthermore, Umbriago, he prefers them too. We buy Rexall, that's all. How about you?
Well, Rexall for tonight, folks. We'll be back next week with Victor Moore, Peggy Lee, Roy Bargy, the Crew Chiefs Quartet, yours truly, Howard Petrie, and
Jimmy Durrani in person, who says, good night, Hot Bread Houlihan, wherever you are. Don't get jealous, Mrs. Calabash. This is business.
Also, friends, be sure to listen in every Sunday on the same station to the Rexall Summer Theater, starring Pat O'Brien and Virginia Bruce.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Jimmy Durante Show, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 16th of June, 1948 on NBC. The same year that Jimmy's guest, Victor Moore, was appearing in a motion picture filled with stars called On Our Merry Way, with Paulette Goddard, Jimmy Stewart, Dorothy L'Amour, Henry Fonda, Fred McMurray, and Burgess Meredith. Even bandleader Harry James was in the picture. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for The Henry Morgan Show, an episode heard on NBC on August 10th, 1949.
The Henry Morgan Show. Yes, the Henry Morgan Show, sponsored by Bristol Myers, makers of Vitalis for well-groomed hair, and Mum the Safer Deodorant, with Arnold Stang, Kenny Delmar, Betty Harris, and Jeff Clark. Music of Milton Kadem, and me, Ben Grauer. And here's the star of the Henry Morgan Show, standing on his favorite corner in front of the cigar store.
Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan. That's very sweet of you. Thank you. Say, did you see the new fall dresses? Did you see the new necklines? Very low. Below the shoulders. Those dresses are very expensive. Yet, they're all without visible means of support. I saw one gown... Thank you, Bob Hope. I saw one gown that went beyond anything I'd ever seen before. This dress guarantees to get a girl a husband or double her boyfriend's back. And that was very amusing at one time. And these skirts are tight. Very tight. So tight that women will have to Vaseline their heads to slip them on. That's funny. I thought the other one was funnier. They had a display of the new girdles at the show, too. Of course, the designs were new, but the same old rule applies for girdles. Remember, you only get out of a girdle what you put into it. Well, that joke was leased to me by this Fred Allen for the summer. They also showed the new French-type bathing suits. A girl came out wearing one of these French suits. Never has so little covered so little since that girl was very little. I understand. No, don't applaud it. My goodness, we have at least three more jokes before the program's over. I understand they're beginning to sell these French bathing suits in New York. They come to you wrapped in a summons. When the girl gets home, she unties the package, keeps the summons, and puts on the string. You know, the girl... the girl who wears... Thank you, orchestra. Almost as loud as Ray Block's orchestra. The girl who... Louder. The girl who wears one... I'm still on the French bathing suit thing. The girl who wears one can have her boyfriend sing her a lullaby. Baby, you're so cold outside. True, so much of her is outside. Well, possibly I'll do some more research on that and throw the whole routine away. Oh, excuse me. Here comes my friend Gerard. Hello, Gerard.
How are you?
You look a little sunburned, Gerard. Were you away?
Yeah, I went to some resort for the weekend.
Oh, that's nice. Did you like it?
Ugh.
What was the name of the place?
Villa O'Houlihan.
Villa O'Houlihan.
Yeah, on the Hudson.
Hey, tell me something. How'd you happen to go there?
Well, I seen an ad in the papers. It said, "Relax in a rustic retreat set in natural, picturesque surroundings."
And?
It was a veterans housing project that was condemned.
Yeah. Well, why was it condemned?
Alligators.
Isn't that ridiculous? Alligators on the Hudson. At worst, they were probably lizards.
Heck, I seen them. They were alligators.
Well, maybe they were big lizards.
All right. So I should spend $15 a day to relax with big lizards.
No, seriously. I'm sure if they had a resort there, there was more to do than just look at lizards.
Yeah, the ad said indoor and outdoor sports.
Well?
They had a checkerboard in a lounge.
That was the indoor sport?
That was both.
What do you mean?
On a nice day, they moved the checkerboard outside.
Well, but what about exercise? They must have had some kind of exercise.
Yeah, they had exercise.
Well, what?
Carrying the checkerboard.
Bob, it wasn't a place for athletes. Sounds more like a rest home.
How could you rest? Those birds outside your window every morning.
Birds outside the window can be very pleasant.
Buzzards?
Buzzards? No.
I tell him yes, he tells me no.
Gerard, it's impossible. They were not buzzards.
All right, lizards.
Still sounds like a rest home, Gerard. Tell me, how was the food?
The ad said good American cooking.
And?
Maybe it was cooked by a good American, but the food was terrible.
Pretty depressing place. Was there anything to do evenings?
The ad said dancing every night.
Dancing? Well, you must have enjoyed that.
Even the first couple of nights, it was boring.
Why?
Who wants to dance with Mr. O'Houlihan?
In that case, of course, I don't blame you.
Sure. All the time, he wants to lead.
Anybody else there?
Only O'Houlihan's father. He couldn't dance at all.
Well, I don't get to the studio pretty soon. Oh, here comes old Gideon Pillsbury Jr. Nice old Bob. Hiya, Pop.
And hello, Sonny. You can't stop and talk now. I'm going in the cigar store and get me a box of cigars. I'm a father.
A father? Well, no kid. Congratulations. When did it happen?
61 years ago.
Well, why are you... Well, why are you getting the cigars now?
Why? Because the store will be closed later.
Yeah, but
how
just...
old do you think I am?
Oh, 82?
93. No, I'm 93 because I never put oil on my body. Oil closes up the pores. Pores have to breathe. Do you ever lie still and feel the hair on your arms uncurl?
I think so.
That's your pores breathing through the hair.
Jeez.
How old do you think I am?
93.
82.
Didn't you say
it? Was a fireman who invented the first frozen popsicle.
A fireman invented the popsicle?
And during the big fire up at Hockomock Head in the winter of 1878. It was so cold, the water froze up solid in the watering hose.
I see.
This here fireman had one finger stuck in the nozzle. He unscrewed his finger and there it was. The first popsicle.
Finger flavored.
And when the fireman died, the popsicle makers put up a monument to him.
What was it?
70-foot finger wrapped in wax paper.
No kidding.
And next to it is a statue of a small boy perspiring. You know what it says underneath?
What?
Keep off the grass. I had a friend named Bing Coolidge.
Bing Coolidge.
No relation to the singer.
I see.
Yeah, Bing worked in the gravel pit, and his paws got all clogged up with gravel powder.
And?
Yeah, when his paws tried to breathe, they made a hissing sound. Every one of his paws was like a tiny pee whistle.
No kidding.
He had paws that snored. Old fella, too, yeah? How old do you think Bing was?
Oh, 85.
No, not me, Bing.
Oh, are you 85?
91. Well, I can't stand no more of your blabbing, sonny. I'll never make it this way.
Make what?
92. So long, son. Keep your eye on Dr. Townsend.
So long, Bob. Hey, taxi! Taxi! Ladies and gentlemen, you may not know it, but some remarkable things have happened because of Vitalis. V-I-T-A-L-I-S. Milton, a drum roll, if you please, sir.
The case of Mr. Absalom Farnsalem of Barnstable, who used Vitalis in the 60-second workout.
Before Absalom Farnsalem used Vitalis in the 60-second workout on his hair looked awful. After using Vitalis, he had the best-looking, healthiest-looking head of hair he ever had. Two girls immediately proposed marriage to him. He married both of them. Still in jail. Next day, Ben.
The case of Mr. Boyntree Flickdang, who used Vitalis and the 60-second workout.
Mr. Flickdang wanted to protect his scalp from the drying effects of the summer sun, so he used Vitalis. He came out looking great and was offered the job of head cashier at the First National Bank. He later embezzled $800,000. Says that he owes it all to Vitalis. Next case.
The case of Mr. Hobart Pulsifer, who used Vitalis in the 60-second workout for his hair.
Hobart Pulsifer didn't like gooky stuff on his hair, so he tried Vitalis. Looked like a real doll. He was delighted with the result, and while crossing the street, stopped to admire his reflection in a mud puddle. A truck came along and killed him. So remember, for your hair, Vitalis and the 60-second workout. Hey, Benno.
Yes,
honey. In the mail.
Huh?
A couple of people have written in for the French story we once picked up from the Paris radio about Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, good. You're going to do it?
No.
Oh.
Because last week I picked up a new one on shortwave, Jack and the Beanstalk. Want to introduce it or anything?
Why, I'd rather introduce it than anything.
Boys and girls, Radio Paris brings you your favorite storyteller, Uncle Henri Morgan.
Bonsoir. Tonight, I tell the story of Jacques and the Stalk de Beans. This story is famous. One time, there was a time, was living with his mother, Jacques. Busted, not a franc. They did not even have the money to go on relief. The mother was very poor, but gorgeous. She said to Jacques, she said, We have nothing but our cow, Fifi. She is only a cow, but gorgeous. She said to Jacques, this is the tourist season. Go down the road, find a rich American, sell the cow. Get the money. Remember, Fifi is French cow. Two faucets give milk, two faucets give champagne. On the road, Jacques meets a fellow who says, kill cow. Then he says, hey, buddy, you want to buy razor blades? Buddy, you want to buy postcards? Buddy, you want to buy beans? So Jacques gives him the cow for a handful of beans. When he gets home, his mother is furious. Her face is red, her eyes are flashing, her hair is all tumbled. She is gorgeous. But furious, she throws the beans out the window. Next morning, outside his big stock of beans. He's enormous. Mother, she is amazed. Her mouth is open, her eyes are open, her hair is all tumbled. She's a dog. Jacques immediately climbs the beanstalk up. At the top is a big castle, and he knocks on the door. A laddie comes out and says, a giant lives here. He will eat you. So I hide you in closet de la broom. Immediately the giant comes in and he says, quote, fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. His wife says, no, that is not Englishman. You smell dinner. We are having London broil. Afterwards, she brings to the giant the goose that laid the golden eggs, and Jacques says to himself in broom closet, quel goose! Jacques steals the goose, and the next night after dinner, the giant asks for harp that play herself. Jacques in the broom closet hears the harp that play herself, and he says, gee, Dad, it's a Wurlitzer. Jacques steals a harp, but the giant wake up and chase to him. He tried to hit Jacques, but Jacques slide down the stalk to bean and grab up an axe. Again, the giant tried to hit him, but the beanstalk topple over and the giant break his neck. So, like other giants, he could not get a hit to save his neck. Oh, Dodger, Rooter. Today, the mother is still gorgeous and Jacques is in business. You meet him on the street and he will say to you, hey, buddy, razor blades, postcard, beans. This is Uncle Henry saying bonsoir. Some time ago, we pointed out on this show that the public schools don't take advantage of the new methods in teaching children. The kids get a little bored, like in history class, for example. But they all like to listen to the radio. So I thought, well, why not make history sound like a late afternoon children's program? Like this.
Bomb Flakes. The cereal that gives you more zing, more zest, more zoom, because it contains uranium. Present...
Christopher Columbus, all Venetian boy.
But before we start our story, kids, here's a brief message from our sponsor.
Listen, gang, do you want to have strong, sound teeth so you can bite the mailman? Sure you do. Then eat Bomb Flakes. It's guaranteed to give you extra power, kids, because each box contains a genuine fang. So tell Mother to buy a box today. And if Mother won't do it, pester her. Nag her. Throw yourself on the floor and scream. Hold your breath until you're blue. You know. You'll do that for Uncle Henry, won't you, kids? Remember, eat Bomb Flakes, the breakfast cereal of Lucky Luciano.
And now, today's chapter of Christopher Columbus, all Sicilian boy.
It's the year 1463 in the city of Genoa. A man, Mr. Giovanni Columbus, is pacing nervously up and down outside a door, waiting, when suddenly the doctor comes out and says,
congratulations, Mr. Columbus. You are the father of an 8-pound baby.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
My boy will be a great sailor, the most famous man of all time. Do you believe that, Doctor?
No.
Why not?
It's a girl.
Several years later, Mr. Columbus is again nervously pacing up and down outside that door when...
Congratulations, Mr. Columbus. Everything is fine.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. My boy will be a great sailor, the most famous man of our time. Do you believe that, Doctor?
What boy? I just took out your wife's tonsils.
But several years later, a son was born to Mr. Columbus. And when the doctor announced the glad news, Mr. Columbus said...
At last, I tell you, Doctor, my boy will be a great sailor, the most famous man of his time. What do you say to that, Doctor?
When are you going to pay me for your wife's tonsils?
One day, when Chris Columbus was just a little lad, a young friend approached him and said...
Hey, Chris, what you doing?
I am thinking of what the world is like, and I have come to the conclusion that it is not flat, as we have been taught, but it is round.
And the other young lad, wise in the teachings of science, steeped in the lore of ancient doctrine, looked at Chris and replied...
Ah, you fire's ravioli.
But Chris Columbus, all Neapolitan boy, knew that he was right. And the next morning he said to his wise old father...
Oh, wise old father. I do indeed believe that the world is a sphere, surrounded on all sides by the heavens above us.
Drink your milk.
But, father, have you observed how the horizon bends beyond the ocean, disappearing, as it were, in a circular orbit?
Drink your milk.
Look, father, look at this egg. Like a standing on end. This proves beyond shadow of a doubt that gravity pulls in all directions and the world is indeed round. What do you say to that, old father?
Eat your egg.
One day, young Christopher stood outside the great palace of the king and queen. As he looked up at the towering battlements, he had an idea. Taking a piece of chalk from his pocket, he wrote on the wall, Ferdinand loves Isabella. But before he could run away, a palace guard seized him and took him to the queen. She looked at the spunky lad and said,
Who are you? I am Christopher Columbus, all Palermo boy. Oh, Queen Isabella, I have a theory to which none will listen. But I know that thou, and thy great wisdom, will indeed pay heed. It is my firm belief, O queen, that the world is round.
Oh, thy father's ravioli.
O gracious queen, I ask the wherewithal to sail around the world and prove my theory, O gracious queen.
No.
O gracious queen, what do you say, gracious queen? Just a couple of ships, will you? How will you, huh? Gracious queen.
Oh, all right. Here's my diamond bracelet. Buy yourself a ship.
One ship ain't enough. I come across, gracious queen. Will you hire another ship, huh, queen?
Oh, all right. Here's my emeralds. Get another ship.
No, I need three, queen, huh? Come on, bear's four, queen. What do you say? How about being a little gracious queen?
Here's my necklace.
Gee, thanks, queen. Thanks a lot, queen. You're a prince.
Go already.
Okay, queen. Thanks a lot, queen. I'll see you around, queen. Goodbye, queen.
Your Majesty.
Yes, Chancellor?
The man wants to sail around the earth. He's mad. You know the earth is flat.
Of course.
Then why did you give him your jewels?
I want him to sail to the edge and fall off.
Will Chris Columbus, all Strombolian boy, really sail to the edge and fall off? Will Chris go on to discover America? Will his men stand by him? Where is the ship? What of Queen Isabella? Who is Sylvia? How deep is the ocean? What time is it? We'll find out in just a moment. But first, gang, let me tell you about Bomb Flakes' free gift offer. It's a dandy kit containing a real live tropical black widow spider. Yes, kids, the same kind of spider that bites real African explorers. And listen, kids, want to have a laugh? Just put one of these spiders in your father's pajamas and watch the fun. Remember, one bite from the black widow spider will make your hair fall out. Send for it today. Be the first kid on your block to be bald. Just send your name and address to Spider, Box 29, Chicago. Enclosed 10 cents for the web.
Now back to Chris Columbus, all Sardinian boy. On the Atlantic, for many days, have sailed through raging storms and heavy seas, tossed by the waves and battered by the winds. But Chris Columbus stands at the helm of the Santa Maria and says...
Oh.
Are you going to turn back, Captain?
Not I, Chris Columbus, all Florentine boy. Ahoy, mates. Belay to starboard. Tack the mizzenmast. Top jet the barnacle. Heave-ho. Ahoy. Belay. Aye-aye. Yo-ho. Hoo-ha.
Then land to starboard.
Land. I've done it. They laughed at me. They called me crazy. They said I would never get it off the ground. They told me to get a horse. They said I'm a screwball. They call me Fulton's Folly. They call me crazy. Ha! Now what'll they say when I get back home?
Ah, they will say, Avanti, Palombino, Fortissimus, Palamagni, Cristoforo Colombo, Menaggi Divati.
What does that mean?
Look who's back! Crazy Chris!
Remember, gang, bomb flakes contain uranium. Send today for your David E. Lilienthal beanie. Address a postcard to Boom, Box You Produce 35, Chain Reaction, Tennessee. And listen next week for the story of Alexander Graham, All Bell Boy. Morgan will be in the same corner in Feather Cigar Store again next week at the same time. Now you, Ben. I got mine.
It's the Henry Morgan Show, presented by Bristol Myers. Makers of Vitalis for well-groomed hair and plum the safer deodorant. Arthur Stang, Teddy Delmar, Betty Harris and Jeff Clark, and Milton Cadams and his orchestra. Morgan himself will be back in his favorite corner in front of the cigar store next Wednesday night at the same time. Henry Morgan Show is produced by Kenneth McGregor. Ben Brower speaking.
Stay tuned for Mr. District Attorney, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Henry Morgan Show, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from August 10th, 1949. And that does it for this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBellier. Thanks for tuning in.